The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen Hurts has grown from a very talented athlete.
For the end zone, what a run! Touchdown, Jalen Hurts!
That's magic.
Into a precision passer.
I'm here running with the squad.
Hats off to Jalen Hurts, man. He's here to stay.
Honestly, it's his MVP race to lose at this point. The breaking news yesterday for Jalen Hurts' injury. We're not laughing about the injury. We're laughing at each other, which is the usual. Hurts spoke to the media just a couple hours ago. So did his coach. We're bringing that to you in seconds, okay? Welcome to NFL Live. Marcus Spears in the festive suit.
Hey, Mark, in
the festive suit.
You look good.
Less festive.
That is fire.
You are
F-Y-E.
You
are that's
so sharp.
Fire, though.
But it's hard to make
double
you look good on TV.
Double-breasted. Adam Schefter bringing us news in moments.
I'm not even
going to
focus on the other part.
Yeah,
I appreciate
fine.
That compliment.
All right.
My mother thought you could be a Santa Claus.
I can't. That's enough. Jalen is hurt. An unfortunate play on words, guys. But his head coach, Nick Sirianni, seems more positive than some of the reporting about what's next for Jalen. Take a listen.
He's got a sprained shoulder, and I do not put it past Jalen Hurts. I don't put anything past Jalen Hurts as far as his mental and physical toughness. So there's a chance he could play this week. And so he is one of the toughest guys I know. He heals fast. He's a freak. His body is not like yours or mine.
Did you know there was some issue after the game?
Yeah, I knew. I knew when it happened. I'm very aware of my body. I've always been that way.
From your perspective, do you think you have a chance to play on Saturday?
Definitely a chance. Taking it day by day, though.
I will say, having covered Jalen Hurts for years, tough as nails.
Yeah.
But, Adam, it's also about what's smarter here, okay? So what's the latest?
Well, first of all, Swagoo does look good today, as does RC and Dan, and you too, Laura. As
for
news on Jalen Hurts, essentially a situation where you heard him talking there about how he's going to take it day by day. I think the smart money is on the fact that he doesn't play on Saturday still because of this fact. The Eagles have to win one of their remaining three games to clinch home field advantage. And if they clinch home field advantage, Jalen Hurts would not be needed until roughly January 21st. So they're not approaching it by thinking they have some comfort and some cushion built into this decision, but they do. That they have to be smart with Jalen Hurts, who has been an MVP candidate, and they'll see how he's operating and recovering during the week. But the fact of the matter is Gardner Minshew is next in line to start if Jalen Hurts can't. And I think right now they're operating under the idea that there's a real chance that Gardner Minshew is going to be the starting quarterback on Saturday night while not ruling out Jalen Hurts and keeping hope alive that somehow he can come back and look as good Saturday night as Big Swagoo does today.
We love it. And they also, the Eagles got some good news offensively. What was that, Adam?
But Dallas Goedert was activated today off IR, so it's official, and he's going to play on Saturday night. So whoever's playing quarterback will have the big tight end to throw to, one more weapon, and this is certainly a big boost for the Eagles offense as they wind down the regular season and start to gear up towards the postseason. He's one of the top tight ends in all of football, and whether it's Jalen Hurts or Gardner Minshew throwing him the football, that'll be a big boost on that offense.
More from Adam throughout the show. Thanks, Adam. And RC, we heard Sirianni suggesting Hurts could play if cleared. We heard Hurts saying he would play potentially if he was available, ready to go. Is there any reason, though, to put him out there?
Absolutely not. And my favorite reason for not putting him out there is just to be smug and say we're not going to play our quarterback, even if he can play, against the Dallas Cowboys.
Aww.
Right? Just that because of what you did against the Jacksonville Jaguars, you are now not even worth putting our starting quarterback out there. That's why I wouldn't play him as the number one reason. But also, the
where he's leaving.
Okay, I'll continue the show. Also,
bye.
Though.
Sit down. We need your color today.
Oh, he'll be back.
Okay,
in a
he'll come back. He knows when he has to talk.
Yeah, he'll be back.
When you think about this team and where they are, now the Philadelphia Eagles, with putting themselves in this place, it's about can we win a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
In order to win that Super Bowl, this team needs Jalen Hurts. This team needs him to be healthy, be able to function in a way that he has for the entire season. And you can't do that with a hurt shoulder. Dan has week in and week out talked about the placement of his football downfield.
Yeah.
You need to be healthy in order to do that.
I
and I think you sit him this week, you make sure you win the one game that you need in order to host the playoffs throughout the entirety of them, and then you allow Garner Minshew to play until Jalen Hurts is needed in the playoffs.
I completely agree he needs to be healthy, but he also needs to be sharp. You don't want to go into a win or go home tournament and not having played football for a month. So while I agree, don't play him this week, as long or even though you might have the number one seed locked up, I think he's got to play a little bit before the playoffs start. And I think you treat it a little bit like a week two and or a week three of the preseason. You do want him to be sharp with the timing of his receivers, the way he sees the defense, his eyes. I would say this, the balance of I want him to get back and playing his best. Again, that is a win or go home tournament once you get in versus keeping him healthy. If he plays, and if I were the Eagles, I would try to make sure that he plays a little bit before the end of the season. I'm not calling a single, and I don't care the situation, single quarterback run. I'm just making sure that he's getting some reps to get his timing in with those receivers because I want him healthy.
The big thing, too, about their quarterback runs with Jalen Hurts, it's so much in between the tackles.
Sure.
He's used as a Josh Allen and a Cam Newton. I think they also have to work on adjusting the type of run calls that they have when using Jalen Hurts as well.
And you know what? That could carry into the postseason.
Yes.
That may not just be an end-of-season thing. Thank you for rejoining us. You took a nice tour of the studio there. Sure. I felt good about it. You had to do it. So, if it is Gardner Minshew, Marcus, on Saturday, what do you expect the Eagles' offense to look like?
I expect the operation to be the same. The QB run is obviously going to take a hit. One, you don't want to get Gardner Minshew hurt.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah.
But also, like, look, this Dallas Goedert to me added – I'm glad we had that. This added a lot to what it is because when you have a quarterback coming in, obviously your second guy, the tight end and the run game becomes their best friend because usually that's your intermediate area. And then, too, we know Devontae and AJ on the outside. We see them catch 50-50 balls. I think Gardner Minshew is very well capable of putting the ball in position for those guys to have success. I expect the offense to look the same except for the QB run.
The Eagles are an underdog in this game regardless of who starts at quarterback.
That's funny.
However, the Eagles are an underdog?
Yeah, they are. And that line moved actually yesterday after the news came out to a 6-point underdog. I don't know if it's changed since. But anyway, okay, so if Jalen Hurts starts, Philly would be only a 3-point underdog. If Gardner Minshew is under center, the Eagles will be an 8.5-point underdog. I answered my own question there. So either way, the Cowboys are favorites. For more, let's head out to Ed Werder, who's been with the Cowboys today. Ed, what are the Cowboys saying about the change in the Eagles QB situation?
Well, Laura, the prevailing theme among Cowboys defensive players today, they're not concerned about who's starting at quarterback for the Eagles. They're too worried about who's going to show up for the Dallas defense and when. Dan Quinn's defense was dominant for most of the season. They were the reason the Cowboys were winning games when Dak Prescott was out, injured, and now coming off a loss in Jacksonville where they allowed 503 yards and 34 points on defense, both season highs. The players must reassert themselves even while the defense is weakened by injuries. They have just one Micah Parsons sack over the last 2 weeks. Safety J'Ron Kearse, said that when the Cowboys offense scores 34 points, as happened Sunday, it should result in a win. A comfortable win is what Kearse said, if they're among the best defenses in the NFL, as they believe. So it seemed hardly surprising that the Cowboys reacted with indifference to the fact that Jalen Hurts' shoulder injury likely forces the Eagles to start back up Gardner Minshew in Saturday's game.
Doesn't matter who they have at quarterback. We need to worry about what we can control, and that's on our side of the ball as a defensive unit and us getting the job done. We just haven't been getting things done, giving up 500 yards to no disrespect, but that Jacksonville squad shouldn't have happened. You know, just like we're watching tape on other guys, they're watching tape on us, and I can assure you right now they're licking their chops.
Well, Kearse said the players expect some tough talks and meetings today with Quinn and members of the defensive coaching staff. He says their weaknesses are evident to opponents studying film and they're being attacked accordingly. Kearse spoke about the importance of the Cowboys recapturing their defensive identity, playing to their standard, knowing that failing to do so will create the same outcome that they experienced in Jacksonville. And, of course, season-ending injuries to cornerbacks Jordan Lewis and Anthony Brown resulted in Kelvin Joseph starting and being exposed as a liability in coverage. Quinn says the starting cornerback spot opposite Trayvon Diggs is now open for competition. And, Laura, the winner gets to cover A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith. Not sure that's a win.
Woo, that's a great reward. Not really. Thanks to Ed for all the latest there. That is a really interesting challenge that the Cowboys are facing. But let's speak of challenges.
I just want to say, Mark Eisman, our producer, I appreciate you putting this show together like this. I'll see you after the show.
Yeah, well, you know, it's fine. We got to do this to you sometimes. It wasn't all Mark's fault. We all agreed to it.
The first 10 minutes is just killing.
Yeah, we're going to keep going here, actually. So what challenges, RC, does Gardner Minshew pose to this Dallas defense?
I think it's an extremely difficult challenge in preparation because this isn't preparing for the Baltimore Ravens with Huntley at quarterback, who is more of a Lamar Jackson clone that didn't get left in the building long enough to fully become Lamar Jackson. This is going to be a totally different offense with Gardner Minshew. I don't expect them to try to push the football down the field as much outside the numbers. They're going to be more crossers, more play actions that keep him in the pocket and slightly move the launch point. And also the run game can look a lot different because it may not be as RPO heavy as it pertains to the quarterback keeping the football. And so there are going to be some things that the Dallas Cowboys have to learn on the run while playing a quarterback that's extremely capable.
Yeah.
He showed that in Jacksonville, and he also showed it in Philadelphia with weapons like A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. If Dallas Goedert is available the way they say he might be, Dallas Goedert and also Quez Watkins and a great run game.
Yeah.
This is still going to be a formidable offense you have to play with an experienced quarterback. This will not be a cakewalk, and the Dallas Cowboys defense better be prepared.
For Dan Quinn, it's what now? What does he do now? Because the injuries have been a part of this conversation. It's also teams have really started to realize how they want to attack this depleted unit. My question is about the two stars. Does he take Micah Parsons from on the ball a ton this year and move him to off the ball? Just to try to create, and we know Van Der Esch might be out a little bit, some speed laterally. We talked for weeks about how teams are attacking their perimeter. Does he move him off the ball to allow his athleticism, his speed, his instincts to play sideline to sideline in their run game? Because I've talked about this year, and RC, you know this, that this pass rush is, when healthy, the best in football. But they can't get to it right now because teams are living in that second, eight, third, and three. So for that, and then the question that I would ask you is this. Does Trayvon Diggs warrant the Darrell Revis treatment? Where they take him, put him on the number two receiver, you buy yourself all game, dude, and we will help that struggling other corner play versus the number one receiver.
I'm going to be quick because I know Marcus has to go. They're two different players, right? Trayvon is longer. He's more of a ball guy, whereas Darrell Revis was shut down.
It's not
a dumb idea because you're extremely intelligent. It's an idea that doesn't match Trayvon Diggs' skill set, right?
Huh.
Now, if it's A.J. Brown and you have a longer, bigger receiver who's going to be a 50-50 ball guy, then yes, I believe you can put him over there and you take your wins with your losses. But when you look at a guy like Devontae Smith, who was so good at route running, creating space, now you can get beat intermediately, which I think Trayvon may struggle a little bit with.
You know, Dan talked a little bit about Parsons. Continue on that point.
Yeah, I just think, look, this great players have a tendency to press, and they get out of system when things aren't going well. And it was two examples in this Jacksonville game where one of these worked out positive, right? We see Michael Parsons on the end of the line of scrimmage. This is all about him maintaining integrity to the rush. Pop back out. Trevor Lawrence got to get rid of the football. We see how this play ends up. This was a critical play in the game. Micah Parsons again on the outside. He takes the inside. You know why? Because in his mind, I got to go get the quarterback. I got to make a play. You're escaping. You pick up a first down. These are the type of things that are starting to happen. Now, I'm sure if I'm wrong about Micah taking the inside move, if it was supposed to be some kind of game, I don't think it was as I looked at that defense. But those are the little differences between getting off the field and looking completely different.
Swag, how much of that, though, is his talent and the freedom that great players are allowed to have?
And that's my point, RC. Out of system, dude. Like, he has to understand in that particular situation, like he did in the first one. Trevor Lawrence is athletic. He can throw on the run. Let me keep him in the pocket and try to get the secondary rush as opposed to I'm going to go bury myself in here and try to make something happen and give up a big play. I don't think that throw happens. if he keeps contained and maintains his area.
A reminder, the Eagles need just to win one of their remaining three games to clinch the number one seed in the NFC. We're losing buttons.
I just popped my button, bro.
Done ripping on the couch.
Oh, man.
Is that even tight? We're just getting started here on NFL Live. The Bengals defense forced Brady to have a career-high four turnovers on Sunday. Hear what impressed Marcus the most. Plus, it was a historic weekend in the NFL. Three teams pulled off a 17-point or more comeback. Dan will talk about how one of them did it with efficiency in the red zone. Anyone got a sewing kit?
No, we'll have a
sewing kit. It was Marcus's belt first, and then now my button.
I hope you guys got to start stealing other people's clothes like I do.
Golly.
I hope the other button pop out. Tie on. We forgot
did
to
you?
Reveal that. Oh, he did.
Did you now?
He got the lost and found in New York, yes.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
How about a little read and react? We're going to begin with the Vikings, who overcame a 33-point deficit to beat the Colts on Saturday, the largest comeback in NFL history. Kirk Cousins threw for 417 yards and four touchdowns after halftime.
Yeah.
The most passing yards by any QB in the second half and overtime of
you
the
like
game
that?
Over the last 45 seasons. Whoa! That game was Saturday, so it kind of feels like a long time ago. But either way, let's talk about it. Marcus, what's your biggest takeaway from that comeback?
How fast and explosive they can be as an offense. I mean, you see the weapons that they deploy. And obviously, we've talked about Justin Jefferson all season long, but K.J. Osborne was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Thielen is still out there. Hockenson is out there. We see Kirk Cousins go crazy using all of these weapons. And then how about we hit a screen for 65, the Dalvin Cook? That is the issue that teams are going to have to face if this Vikings team can ever put it together. But when you come in as a defensive unit, you better pay attention to a lot of people because they can be this explosive. I like them to do it from the first quarter on, though.
It's so interesting to see their record, and we say if they ever put it together. Yeah. I mean, that's the reality with this team. All right, let's get to the Chiefs. They were on upset alert against the Texans. We're all like, are they really going to lose to the Texans? They escaped with the win in overtime. Patrick Mahomes completed nearly 88% of his passes with a minimum of 40 attempts. That's the highest completion percentage in a game in NFL history, as you might imagine. So, RC, should the Chiefs be concerned that they needed that type of historic performance from Mahomes to be able to win this one in overtime over the Texans?
Absolutely. Listen, this is the team that's now playing undisciplined both defensively and offensively. You're turning the football over against the Houston Texans. You're finding ways to allow them to run the ball and also get plays from their quarterbacks defensively. And so if you're the Kansas City Chiefs and you're thinking about the Buffalo Bills, you're thinking about maybe the Los Angeles Chargers, but obviously the Cincinnati Bengals, this type of performance will not get you wins. And they are ultimately judged by how many times Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid can hoist the sticky Lombardi at the end of the season.
Man, that's it. I mean, at the end of the day, you know you've got a guy like Mahomes, but you don't want to have to rely on him to do that every single time. Let's get to Jacksonville, where Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars overcame, just like these other teams, a 17-point deficit to stun the Cowboys. Lawrence threw for 318 yards, four touchdowns in the win, continuing the best stretch of his young career. It's honestly been fun to watch. Over his last six games, Lawrence has thrown 14 touchdowns, only one interception. Let's go. Dan, give us something specific that Lawrence has done particularly well in recent weeks.
Everything happens faster in the red zone, so his reactions have been huge. This is called a rail route by the back. That's number one. And then Zay Jones is going to come on a shallow cross. Now, everybody at home, the read for Trevor Lawrence is going to start with this drop-down defender, okay? If that defender hung inside, Trevor Lawrence catch the ball, throw that ball out to the rail route to Travis Etienne right now. Now, if this defender widens, as he should on that rail route, Trevor Lawrence has got to realize, I got to get to that shallow cross coming with Zay Jones. Look at Trevor Lawrence, catch the ball, immediately his eyes go right there, realizes that defender's widening, right? So the rail route is dead, but it happens quick down in the red zone. Now, I love this from the Jags. They're going to take these two guys and kind of run right at the inside shoulder of that hook defender right here. As Zay Jones is coming down that shallow cross, Trevor Lawrence, I need you to get to him quickly. Now, look at his feet. His feet, you see that hash right here? His feet are basically on the inside of that hash. If he hangs there, that shallow cross is going to out-leverage him, Trevor Lawrence. Now, even though that guy's starting to break on the ball, linebacker-wise, Trevor Lawrence realizes because his feet were stuck inside and he's number two, kick the ball out right now to Zay Jones out in front. Beautiful touchdown. Now, at the line of scrimmage, the Jags in this game did a really good job versus man coverage, no matter what the situation, of running what we call like pick or rub routes. Now, everybody down in the red zone does this, where they'll take this outside receiver and pick that inside guy, and then they're going to take this inside slot receiver, Christian Kirk, push vertical and go to the flat right now versus man coverage. It is the perfect play call. But the Cowboys defense is actually in a better call. They in and out this. So the corner is just going to take whoever comes outside, and then the slot defender should take whoever comes inside. Now watch Trevor Lawrence, because he's thinking we got it, right? He's going ready to make that throw. Never underestimate your ability to not throw the football. Cowboys, you have won this rep. You're in the perfect play call playing it inside out. But Trevor Lawrence realizes, and so does Zay Jones, well, if you get back to the back end line right there and you can sneak there, I can make a throw to you as long as that throw is high and on your face mask. The reaction, perfect throw right there of that first clip, realizing defender wide, let me kick it there. And now even though you're in that in and out coverage, Zay Jones slip inside and then throw me up, throw it right on your face mask. Two reactionary red zone plays by Trevor Lawrence equal two huge touchdowns for that Jags offense.
You know, Dan, you really salivate over great quarterback play. Let's go for some great quarterback play to some not-so-great quarterback play. Does that sound good? Yeah. We've got the vocab words going.
Oh,
Zach Wilson, he's going to start again for the Jets, coming off their third straight loss. But hear why RC says the QB is what's holding the team back. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The NFL is headed back to Las Vegas for the Pro Bowl games, featuring new skills challenges and the first ever AFC versus NFC flag football
games.
Here. We'll be there.
Flag football.
Woo! To see your favorite players at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas on Sunday, February 5th, scan the QR code on your screen right now or visit ProBowl.com/tickets. Let's get back to Monday Night Football, the Packers and the Rams. Man, it was cold there. I think everybody's face just like froze off during the game. Picking this one up in the third quarter, Packers up 10-6. A.J. Dillon taking the handoff, barreling in for the TD. Packers up 17-6 now. And a few minutes later, they're knocking on the door again after a Rams three and out. And the Packers, Rodgers hitting Aaron Jones out of the backfield. He cuts inside, gets into the end zone, and the Packers lead 24-6. Ensuing Rams possession, Baker Mayfield making something happen to Tyler Higbee there, responding to make it 24-12, headed into the fourth. So, Dan, that's where we pick it up. The Rams trying to get something going, and Mayfield hit here, but you thought it could have been more.
Oh, this is a touchdown. If Kenny Clark doesn't get the hand of Baker Mayfield or the arm of it, that ball flutters in the air. Skoranek is running basically an out and up, nice lateral, out and up behind him. If he doesn't get hit there, that play is going to be a touchdown for the Rams against the Packers defense.
Packers take over in great field position but fail to convert. What'd you see here, Dan?
I love this. Formation into the boundary, motion, slice the tight end from the bottom all the way across, and then ball fake. Look what it does to those linebackers. You went 3-by-1 into the boundary. Now you're 3-by-1 field. They have to look at all those things when it comes to action, the motion, and then the slice across at the snap. And you create that massive void for your pass game. My biggest question coming from watching that play is, where the has that been all season long?
I think that would have helped. Never mind.
I can't believe you didn't say but. Okay, so the Packers keep their playoff hopes alive, and they'd likely get in if they're able to win out. However, that's easier said than done. Look at this. According to ESPN Analytics, the Packers only have a 14% chance to win the rest of their games, which you see there. They're all against teams that are currently 500 or better, so that's why. Let's get back to our top stories around the NFL today with Adam Schefter. And, Adam, we begin with Jalen Hurts.
Laurie said he's not ruling himself out for Saturday, even though many people think it's going to be challenging for him to be out there with the sprained shoulder that he suffered on this play against the Chicago Bears when his right shoulder was buried into the ground, and he stayed on the ground, clearly uncomfortable with the injury that he just sustained. He had tests yesterday. It did reveal the sprained shoulder. If he cannot play, then Gardner Minshew would step in place, and keep in mind, the Eagles have to win just one game of the remaining three to clinch home field advantage in the NFC. Lamar Jackson didn't practice today for a seventh straight day. Now, the Ravens were hoping that he would be available and return to play on Saturday night, Christmas Eve, against the Atlanta Falcons. But the fact that he was not present at practice is not an encouraging way to start the week. And, oh, by the way, wide receiver Devin Duvernay hurt his foot at practice today. He's having tests. And the Jets ruled out Mike White, their starting quarterback, for Thursday night's game against the Jacksonville Jaguars due to his fractured ribs. Zach Wilson, once again, will get the start as the Jets try to keep alive their playoff hopes. Wilson played better than some people thought he would on Sunday. But again, he's going to have to carry the load on Thursday night for the New York Jets. Mike White out again.
Yeah, quick turnaround too, Adam, to your point. Thanks so much for the latest from Adam Schefter. All the news around the NFL. And Zach Wilson's return to the field on Sunday had some ups and downs, to Adam's point. He completed only 51% of his passes. However, Wilson did have some success stretching the field. He went 7 of 14 on passes thrown 15 or more yards downfield, including a touchdown to C.J. Uzomah. Dan's rolling his eyes at me right now, but the numbers are the numbers, Dan. The 7 completions on deep throws are the most in a game in Wilson's career. So, Dan, after a couple weeks on the bench, Wilson back on the field, what did you take away from Sunday's game? I feel like it must not be positive.
Well, out of those 7 completions, 2 of them are broken plays, and one of them is an absolute Hail Mary to Garrett
right.
Wilson. I honestly believe for Thursday night, if they, let's say, throw the ball 30 times, no more than 5 of them should be straight drop back. I don't care if it's 5-step or 3-step. How many different times in those 25 other snaps can you sprint him out? And I understand it's simple designs, but it's better. How many times can you get designed moves outside of the pocket to just maybe allow him to be a little bit clearer? Bootlegs, waggles, where you ball fake one way and then move him opposite. Maybe some screens. Play action passes where it's a very clear read, number one, to the check down. I'm not even giving him a second option wide receiver and or tight end wise. 1-2. I honestly, this is, again, my job is to be as like analytical and honest as I can. I don't think he thinks that well right now. I don't think he sees the field well. And I don't, we call it processing. I honestly don't see the processing of this is what I should do with the football versus this defense on a play-to-play basis when they play drop-back football.
Guys, I thought he looked fine, okay? And
for
a second-year quarterback that's missed so much time, for a guy that's been through much malign how he has this season, I thought he actually gave them a chance to win the game. I looked at the coach and I asked, why don't you call timeouts at the end of this game to try to give him an opportunity to win the game? The thing that I don't like about Zach Wilson is his demeanor. I don't like the intentionality in which he presses and tries to play the game. It looks like a nonchalant feel to trying to get better.
We just watched
emphasis on that. So for me, that's I'm not talking about whole totality. I'm talking about this game. I saw some things from this kid that you could say we can get this developed and him, he can be better. I did see that. Like, that's what I saw during this game. So for me, I have a huge issue with his get-to-itiveness.
His urgency.
A new word. Yeah.
I like that. That's
my thing about when I watched him in this game. I thought some of those throws were high level. I thought the rollouts that we showed in the highlight, I thought that was solid. He threw the one interception, obviously was crazy, but I thought he placed the ball well, gave his guys a chance. A lot of this league now is about giving your elite guys a chance to make plays.
I thought he had way more wow misses than throws that gave guys.
I'm going to say this. I believe I am in a place where I do not care how people behave that play this game. I wasn't in the locker room looking for good humans. I was in the locker room looking for good football players. And if Aaron Rodgers behaved the way that Aaron Rodgers does, and he was my quarterback, I would be a huge Aaron Rodgers fan because Aaron Rodgers is really good at football.
Yeah.
I did the same thing with my quarterback and Ben Roethlisberger when he was young. I was like, I really don't care how much people like you or dislike you. I do know we can win football games with you. So continue to be you, and we will grow in other ways. That's what he can do as a person. Now, as a player, I agree with Dan in this sense. You got to only do things that he does well. And if that's get the football out of his hands on rolls, if that's allow him to scramble or be able to get one read and then to the check down, do that. Because if you make him do things that he cannot, he will kill you. Here's why I disagree with you. He did not give them a chance to win that game.
Who did?
A defense that showed up on the goal line gave him a chance to win that game. When he threw a lollipop, lollipop, ooh, lollipop for an interception and the guy ran out of bounds, I tweeted, Jacobs, do not run out of bounds because your offense probably won't score against that defense, and they did not. The reason Robert Saleh couldn't use his timeouts in order to give Zach Wilson an opportunity to win the game is because he took two sacks on the last drive. And you know how you know that he can make all these exciting throws on like 3rd and 19 and 4th and forever? Because it's his fault they're in 3rd and 19 and 4th and forever.
But it also was his doing that got you for a 58-yard field goal. It was also his throws that gave you an opportunity to kick a field. That's reality. I'm not trying to sit here and be an apologist. I can't believe I'm even actually defending the quarterback.
I am, honestly. Are you okay?
You know what I knew it was? The double-breasted suit.
You said that Zach Wilson is not seeing the field. He's not thinking well. Was he thinking well ever? Or is this a new thing?
I think in the Pittsburgh game this year, at the end of the season, he did, yes.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. Was it ever happening? We got to go to break, but we'll continue this on. And there's a lot more coming your way that you don't want to miss. Touchscreen Tuesday is what's happening.
You lost your stinger.
Marcus is an alter ego today.
Dressed too well.
But you know what we're going to see on Touchscreen Tuesday? Dan and RC talking about the Lions' game-winning touchdown over the Jets next. I feel like he needs
– They have three games this year where they've lost and given up a total in three games of one touchdown.
I'm not saying Zach Wilson, the world beater. I'm talking about that game in particular.
Bro, there's no way that you sit there and think he played well.
Bro,
The Countdown crew has you covered for Week 16, a special Saturday edition, 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. And then the Monday night Countdown crew gets you set for Chargers-Colts at 6 Eastern, both on ESPN and the app. It's Touchscreen Tuesday.
Yeah, it is. Hey, what up, guys? Listen, the Detroit Lions started 1-6, and now they are true playoff contenders. They may have a coach that likes to bite ankles and a defensive end that loves to sing Michael Jackson, but they have an offense that is making huge plays in situational football moments, and the last 2 weeks are pure proof of it.
I love the fact that they're not scared of the moment. Now, I think it's important for us to go back 2 weeks ago against the Minnesota Vikings. You're trying to basically salt the game away. Very similar situation. I love the fact the Lions get into those condensed splits. There's Penei Sewell, little ball fake. Ball goes out to the flat right there. Now, I promise you, the New York Jets, a well-coached football team, are going to be ready for a very similar situation if they happen to see it. Go back to last week, 4th and 1, trying to go win a ball game. Lions come out in that condensed split. Now, this is what they're going to do. This is that wide, high touchdown.
Right away, though, I want you to look at this. The Jets are letting them know that they're in man-to-man coverage. Here, you see that they're running over in coverage with the nickel back, and the slot back is going to point to Sauce Gardner. He's going to say combo, 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 so they can go in and out on these two guys and not get out leveraged to the flat because they saw Penei Sewell last week catch the ball straight to the flat.
Exactly, and that's really, if I'm the Lions, what I'm trying to do is I'm Amon-Ra St. Brown right now. If I'm Jared Goff, ball fake, and I'm telling the quarterback, throw the ball to the flat right now. We're just trying to get 1 yard. Now, if it's not there, we have a built-in progression. The progression really reads high to low. Jared Goff, if Amon-Ra's not there, this is what I want you to do. I have a deep cross coming, and then I have a Y-high coming. The progression is going to be 1 to 2 to 3. Jared Goff does a great job of resetting. Yep. Sauce Gardner's there for the coverage, and then that tight end's going to be wide open for that wide high. But it's really important for everybody at home to see that back angle, to see why that tight end became such a wide open threat for that offense. You're going to get that motion. There's Amon-Ra, the same one that Penei Sewell did last week.
So also, too, here now, Quincy Williams is going to have to work with C.J. Mosley. They're going to be on the tight end locked up and on the back here. What you would expect that if the back flows this way, that C.J. Mosley would bounce over. Quincy Williams attacks here. He now takes the back, and on the crosser, C.J. Mosley can take the old crap screen.
I love that. Now, this is the big important thing for me as an offensive person, the emphasis to the tight end. I need you to do one thing. Have patience. When you come down on this block, and here's our tight end off the football right now. When he comes down on that block, I need you to do a great job of, number one, engaging. When you get down to that defensive tackle, there's the engagement right there. Now, so often, guys, try to get leaked out right now. Patience. I need you to go one, 2-3 count, because RC just talked about those guys flowing over the football. I need to make sure that as you stay engaged, that's a great job by the tight end, that these guys also right here can go to the top.
CJ Mosley's flowing over the top. This blends into a double team to him, so he doesn't even understand that there can be a late leak to the flat.
Exactly. And Jared Goff goes 1-2-3. That's how the wide hide happens, wide open for the walk-in touchdown. That's not bad defense, in my opinion, by the Jets. It's a great design. It's a great use of what we did in the past. And it's great patience by Jared Goff and the tight end to realize we've got the moment, we've got the patience to get that game winning
touchdown. Listen, these last 2 weeks were great examples of how a team can go from a team that no one thinks can win to a team that's put themselves in the playoffs. And whether it's Dan Campbell watching the wave or waving goodbye to Dan Orlovsky's Detroit Lions, this team is here to stay, and I can't wait to see what else they have.
Let's go.
Fellas, that was phenomenal. CJ Mosley, I don't know how the hell you play that play. I'm going to be honest with you. But we going to BMB because they had to bump my segment. Look, Jalen Hurts, don't get hurt no more, bro. I like this segment to go on Monday. We had to break news. But I got some stuff for y'all. I want to check y'all. Y'all, check this out. This is Chandler Jones. Nah, not the play you thinking. Look at the oomph-bink, the fake spin to get back. Mac Jones, I know. This is actually a big man balling. But we use this for the bump because there are things that are better, and they come into you. BMB is on the way, Tuesday edition. Jalen Hurts, I ain't playing with you, dog. And y'all know how we turn up on this segment. Finna give you all I got, Kevin Nash. Let me introduce y'all to the big fellas that made plays on Sunday. Let's go! Look at him! Somebody better block him. All you doing is saying, where did he come from? Morgan Spears Jr. with the rip club. Go get the quarterback. Let's go! Big men be balling. I don't usually do this, but I put my good suit on today to do BMB, man. So I'm not gonna move around a lot. Psych, I lied. Let's go, let's go. I got my man JJ Watt, not JJ Evans, but both of them damn sure had a good time. I'm about to show this man getting to the quarterback 3 times. JJ, nobody's gonna block you. Have a day, sir. Get there, put your hands on people. Show us flashes of that old dude from the Houston Texans that used to get at the quarterback. Defensive player of the year. He's swiping hands down, getting to the quarterback, causing fumbles. He 199 years old, but he had 3 sacks against the Denver Broncos. But who does? J.J. Watt, J.J. Evans, both of y'all had a good time. Next, let's go to the young baller, Kayvon Thibodeau. He wore so many chains when we saw him on the draft show, I thought he was going to fall off the stage. But this is why he wore chains, because when you do things like this, you get money. When you sack, fumble, and score, they start putting big checks in your checkbook and your bank account. This is Kayvon Thibodeau. Huge play in this game, because the offense was nowhere to be found, except when Saquon started running at the end. I feel you, big fella. Get your breath, because you balling out of your mind. And last but not least, listen, sometimes being a big guy, we benefit from dumb things happening because most people overlook us. They don't think that we're athletic. So when dumb things happen, like Jakobi Meyers throwing this ball back to Chandler Jones, look at the athleticism. I tell you all the time, if we get in the end zone, it's going to be on BMB. Stiff arm Mac Jones, Chandler. Stiff arm, and I don't care if y'all cousins that got the same last name. Push his head in the ground and go to the end zone because that's what we got to do. And then celebrate. His brother fight MMA. His other brother, Arthur, played in the NFL, and now Chandler started to come on. Over the last 3 weeks, y'all, Chandler Jones, damn near All-Pro and a Pro Bowler. I don't know what happened to him the first 14 weeks of the season, but he's starting to come on. This has been BMB. I'm like J.J. Watt and J.J. Evans. I came to have a good time, but Chandler Jones mushing his own cousin in an NFL game,
not live, his cousin. Why,
everybody watching, it's very disrespectful.
That is not his cousin. What?
I'm not mad at it because big men ball like that.
I think they're brothers.
Brothers, cousins,
relatives.
Not his cousin.
Hey, to the Bengals, who forced 4 turnovers against the Bucs Sunday.
Why?
Joe Burrow, money again. 4 TDs from Joe Cool. But here's the thing. The story for Cincinnati right now and why you might pick him over the Chiefs potentially, is their defense. One of the reasons they are incredibly scary. So let's stay on that, Marcus. We're going to put you right back to work over here.
Yeah.
Right? What did you like from the Bengals defense on Sunday?
It wouldn't be.
Did you just say mouth
to
mouth?
Hey, if I ever need it. If I ever need it, Boogie,
I go first.
While we on the show, let me die before you let him give me my
mouth. Oh, I'll make sure.
All right. Yeah. Cool. Let's get to it.
Get anywhere near your lips.
Uh-uh. Let it go. Cincinnati Bengals. First of all, I think a lot of people are having conversation. RC, hang in there. Hang in there. Your buddy didn't want to be a part of that, so it left. This defense, man, like Lou Anarumo, and we've talked about second half adjustments. We've talked about him kind of getting to understand it. Look, the play action was working for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the first half. The motion was happening. Lou Anarumo had enough juice to say, I'm going to confuse Tom Brady. Yeah. And that's what he did. Woo. This, you show a look of pressure, you drop everybody out, you force him to throw into a look with everybody eyes looking back at the quarterback. Tom thought that this would be an easy connection. Then you walk up, your linebacker, and you show a five-man rush. Yeah. The fumble is not the thing. What Tom Brady thought was, I'm going to step up in the pocket. They've shown pressure. Last time they dropped out, I threw in the coverage, threw an interception. What I'm going to do now is step up and buy time. But Lou Anarumo said, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to still send five people at you. I'm going to make sure I change my linebacker to have him contained, and I'm going to let those big fellas keep you in the center of the pocket where we know you hate pressure and it caused a fumble. Dude in his bag, but he's been in his bag for a long time.
Multiple playbooks.
Absolutely.
Their defense is the best in-game adjusting unit in all of football. I thought their secondary decided to pass off routes really well in the second half, but the fronts, as you talked about, Marcus, were absolutely everything. And you talked about, like, that pressure by Wilson.
Yeah.
There's that five-man walk-up. Now watch his move. He's going to go to our left, the right to the center. Center's got to follow. And then his defensive tackle and end on the right side, they're going to go inside. Now, as that center follows him, he's going to get picked off by that tackle reader. He loops all the way around.
Yeah.
That's why that sack happens, because of the way that they did it. And then there's that five-man front that Marcus was talking about. Marcus, you said play action, right?
Yep.
This is early down, first and second down. They go five-man front, but drop in eight guys in coverage. Only three-man front, ain't nobody open, but the rush still gets there because of the timing. So the adjustments by Lou Anarumo go, hey, you know, like, what are we doing that's not working? What are they doing that's working, and how do we counter it? I think that's the real key, is that he figures out what you're doing offensively and how does he counter what you're doing to take it away.
Right.
I think what's happened with this team is, because of Joe Burrow, because of Ja'Marr Chase and all the skilled players offensively, we often forget how they were able to make their run in the playoffs. Joe Burrow was sacked 9 times against the Tennessee Titans. The Cincinnati Bengals defense turned over Ryan Tannehill with 3 interceptions. Yeah. You think about the second half against the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship. Sure. It was about defense and not allowing a guy like Patrick Mahomes to even put the ball in the end zone or score points. And so all of those things have pointed to why I believe this team is the best team in the AFC. When they find ways to stop you in the second half, they have a quarterback who's an absolute killer.
Yeah.
Lou Anarumo and Joe Burrow working together are huge. Now, if you don't have Sam Hubbard, if you don't have Trey Hendrickson, who are two large pieces to what Lou Anarumo could do, oh, my God, I forgot Mike Hilton as well. He didn't play last week. But Daxton Hill, the rookie from Michigan, is extremely talented. If they're healthy defensively and their quarterback is there, Ja'Marr Chase, this is a team that I believe, again, becomes the number one team in the AFC to go to the playoffs. And that game against Buffalo looms extremely large later on in the season.
I think Hubbard is the most critical one.
Yeah, and you got to think, too, that means that you're taking them over the Chiefs, just for all the people wondering. The
Bengals only beat them 3 times in a calendar year.
Good point. The Bengals forced Tom Brady into 4 turnovers in the second half on Sunday, the first time that Brady had 4 turnovers in a half since 2001. That never happened. Props to the Bengals. Hey, time for one more thing before we go. Check out Chris Jones on the sideline Sunday. People exploded thinking he's chugging a beer, okay? So one theory we saw floating around was the idea that it was pickle juice to help cramping.
That's not really disgusting.
I would rather it be a beer.
It's actually not disgusting. I used to drink 2 or 3 jars of Clausen pickle juice a week as the sodium in it. And it's obviously
cold.
Yeah, it's always cold. Clausen, you got to keep them in the refrigerator. It's like rich people pickles, right? And so those were so I would drink pickle juice throughout the week, and it would help. And then I'd move into Pedialyte and electrolytes as I got into Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Why would he be drinking? I would have been sparkling water before
pickle
juice.
Dan, did you ever drink pickle juice in a game?
Nah, I was on the sideline most of the game.
Oh, you weren't cramping on the sideline. Okay,
he probably was eating glizzies with Mark Sanchez.
Lizzie is a hot dog, if people don't know.
The high-pitched laugh was necessary?
Look at
that. I was holding it in.
I'm so mad.
I'm so mad.
You told her to ask
me. We'll see you tomorrow.